Dearest friends and family, there is an insane new show coming to Forever Dog that is going to blow your mind, and you have to subscribe right now. It's called Beyond, and it's by one of our favorite individuals in this entire world, Mike Helton. And if you love stuff like horoscopes, aliens, or ghosts, spooky ghosts, non-spooky ghosts, ghosts of all types, you are not going to want to miss this.
Beyond follows comedian, producer, and most importantly, former Las Culturistas guest Mike Helton as he uses supernatural forces to solve everyday problems.
That's right. Instead of just going to therapy like a normal person, Mike works with witches, mediums, ghost hunters, cult leaders, healers, potion makers, astrologers, and more.
Can a witch solve his dog's aggression issues?
Can a hypnotist cure Mike's Diet Coke habit?
Can Mike use his powers as an empath to help exorcise a demon from a thrift store in the East Village?
Well, I'm not going to tell you're going to have to subscribe and listen to the show.
In the first episode, Mike gets help from a medium to connect with his deceased grandfather. It's such a terrific episode of podcasting. Please check it out.
Oh, yeah. We actually saw HPJ right after they recorded that episode, and he was fully shook.
It was like truly like some sort of significant world event had just happened.
There was an energy in the room.
It was gorgeous. Like, we felt
truly,
it. It was amazing.
I can't wait for that.
And we haven't even told you the best part. NYC listeners can catch the live premiere show Monday, September 24th at Caveat. There's going to be comedy, music, and a medium who will be telling stories about real evil demons who tried to kill him.
This is insane.
And he might even try to connect an audience member with the deceased. Ooh. That's money well spent, y'all. Go to caveat.nyc for tickets.
I think I'm really going to go to that.
I'm going to go.
So whether you're a believer in this stuff or not at all, join Mike for an open-minded, hilarious, and emotional journey through the incredible world of all things spiritual, spooky, and downright beyond. Subscribe to Beyond today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forever Dog.
Look, man.
Where?
Oh, I see. My eye, oh my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Here's the actual tea.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was at my beloved family's home.
Beloved.
And my mother had made her food. And we were eating the food, and I ate it a little too fast. And does this ever happen to you where it goes down the wrong pipe, but it doesn't, like, it goes into your sinuses?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's horrible. It's the worst feeling.
There is a meatball in my brain.
Currently.
Right now. And I woke up, and I thought, surely it will have passed. There is a piece of food in my sinuses, and I'm starting to feel sick.
Okay, here's what you do. You're going to go to your CVS. You're going to buy
a neti pot?
Not a neti pot. I mean, it's functionally, it's the same idea, but just one of those like saline rinses. Okay. You got to flush that out. Oh, my God.
It feels
Matt,
insane.
You have a meatball brain.
Once I ever tell you the story about the one time I ate McDonald's too fast in high school and then fries came out of my nose?
Oh, no.
Okay.
This is what?
I mean, that's the whole story.
That's the whole story. Yeah. Okay.
But listen.
Matt, you got to be careful.
I have to be careful when you're eating. It's actually rule of culture number 16. You gotta be careful when you're eating.
I used to have the worst habit of not chewing my food completely and then swallowing it and then it getting stuck. And I had to.
What do you think that's about?
It's about
like me, what is it? Spiritually?
It's about the cultural ergonomics. Yeah. It's a very Chinese thing.
It's a very immigrant narrative.
It's an immigrant narrative, yeah. And I was bent over the Costco bathroom
stall. First of all, can we just say hot?
Hot, bent over.
So fucking hot.
Agape.
Oh my God. But I had literally hot.
I had like a 2-inch piece of hot dog stuck in my esophagus for about 4 hours. And I was just in Costco trying to wash it down. And my parents just being like, how did this happen? What did we do to make this happen?
It's good they were asking those questions. And I do blame them.
Now.
And I blame us for getting such a good guest.
I think
if we have too good of a time tonight, I blame us.
And yeah. We're going to have the best time.
Can I tell you what the party is?
What's the party?
At Chloe is crazy.
Oh. Ooh, honey, it is a trove of content. Here's every day.
Each day. Sometimes more than once a day.
Ooh.
You'll get a treasure trove. And it will become impressions down. It will become characters down.
It's
acting.
Impressions down, characters down. Yeah, little acting moments down, like steering wheel acting. Or it's photo shoot moments. It's dance moments. Yes, it's street things. Oh my God, last night she had this fucking guy who was catcalling her, following her, and it was riveting to watch.
She can turn anything into Academy Award.
Academy Award, but it's truly compelling.
Let me tell you where I met this person. Catherine Cohen at, again, how many times do I say this?
She links.
It's my favorite show. She links it
she
up.
She links, no. Yes.
It's my favorite show in New York.
It's my favorite show. Well, yeah. You
Cabernet
see.
Cabernet, I was guest hosting for Catherine.
Yes, I remember this night. I was sitting in the audience. Our guest goes up. I was like, oh,
she literally,
my God.
Catherine emailed me like 2 hours before. She was like, okay, we literally, this person is in town. We must have her on the show. I was like, okay, cool. Give me your number. Came in, slayed. Did impressions of famous celebrities giving beej.
It was a moment.
Giving BJs.
Blue Jays.
Blue Jays. BJs.
Toronto
Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
Blow jobs. Blue Jays from Toronto, honey.
I think
the
she
slay was evident.
So funny. And then just, and then the moment that you, I mean, at this point, tens of thousands of people follow her, but at the moment that you look through her stuff, you're just like, oh,
it's a treasure
wow.
trove.
Anyway.
We're very happy.
We're very happy.
And she's in town from LA, and so we have her on the pod, and her name is
Chloe Fineman.
Thank you.
Wow.
Hey, Chloe.
This is a big, and also this is a moment where I was like, I literally have been telling people, I was like, you know, Chloe Fineman's coming on the show.
And people are like, oh my God, what?
Oh my God.
My friend Nico from LA is gagged.
Gagged.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Okay, can we talk about what happened last night? You were walking down.
So it's been I can't stop thinking about the fact that I'm not getting catcalled.
Yeah.
In 2018.
And you're wow. lamenting it.
I'm lamenting it. I like tried, because it was like this thing, I was like, this is content that can that has legs. Mm-hmm. And
conversation starter.
I remember like wearing, like putting on shorter gym shorts and going in downtown LA, just like, hello.
Yeah.
And like silence.
Wow.
Everywhere.
Recently. But then when you were in school here, would that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I,
more disgusting city, New York.
A little bit more disgusting, but also like I have a butt and it was like nice to have it finally be acknowledged.
Right.
On the street.
But not last night.
It's been silenced, honestly, for the last year. Ever since the Me Too movement, I'll never forget. I used to walk downtown and there was this guy in a driveway, a security guard, and he'd always be like, hey, lady.
Yeah.
And I walked by and he looked at me and his mouth just was glued together.
Wow. The power.
He learned his lesson.
But I hate it. And I have all these girls being like, yeah, like, I don't know if I look good. like, we're so mad at getting catcalled, but we need it.
But you need it. Okay,
oh,
but
my
then, like,
God.
And then how does it get reflected back is the thing, right?
Yeah.
But then, okay, so then talk about this guy coming up to you, because this guy
was...
So
he was really kind and I was really
desperate. But he was aggressive.
Desperate. Yeah. But I was desperate.
Okay.
And I was asking for it. I was in a tube top.
You were in a tube top.
And he came...
Great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thoughty 30.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's an embracing.
It is.
It is.
How much time left do we have on Thoughty 30?
Oh,
is it Thoughty 30s or Thoughty 30?
I think we can make the Thoughty 30s.
I think it's the Thoughty 30s.
Yeah.
20s was NYU stage blacks.
Yes.
Yes.
For sure.
And period costumes.
Yes.
30s are Thoughty.
Yeah, good.
30s are Thoughty.
What studio were you in NYU?
I was at Adler.
Adler.
Yeah, Rachel Winitsky was in my
studio. Right.
Wow. Okay, yes, the famous Winitsky.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're in Adler.
Wow.
You're in your studio blocks. You walk outside, immediately get catcalled.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow, how the Chelsea catcallers.
Yes. Wait, was that at Chelsea? Was Adler at
it's
Chelsea?
It's in Chelsea, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Adler is like a studio where they take it V seriously.
So serious.
Yeah.
I didn't leave all 4 years.
Wow. You stayed. Which is people should know is uncommon.
Very, very uncommon.
Yeah, like, usually people, they dip around.
They dip around,
they go to London, the experimental theater.
You wanted to stay in that Adler.
I was like, I need to play this 50-year-old alcoholic.
Yes.
Now.
Truthfully, now.
At 21.
At 21.
Yeah.
Did
this
you
is
take
my time.
Yourself as seriously as the studio took itself?
More seriously.
Really? You took yourself very seriously.
Like, I get embarrassed coming back to New York and like seeing people like Rachel because they know me a certain way
that
I'm desperately trying to never remember.
And so what way was that? Like, in what ways did you take yourself so seriously?
One time I had a meltdown in the bathroom over a role and the head of the Stella Adler's grandson, Tom Oppenheim, banged on the door.
Tom.
And Tom was like, I was great. I was just weeping and... He was banging on the door. He's like, Chloe, come out. Chloe, please let us talk to you. Chloe.
Oh, my God. This is theater school.
Absolutely.
Theater school. Yeah. And I was like, I'm fine. And I'm like talking to my mom. And she's like, what is wrong? Like, people are going to worry. And then
they probably were worried.
Of course they were worried. And then I came out and then they went up to the front desk and they're like, it's okay. It happens at least once a week.
These kids, they're
These
constantly
kids.
Breaking down.
Yeah.
But see, this is the thing. Like, as someone who, like, secretly wanted to be a Tish kid while
Same.
I was at NYU.
Oh, well, I was, but I wanted to be an acting kid.
You were yes.
Yeah. Oh.
I got into dramatic writing because it was the quote unquote easiest to get into.
Right. And I was like even more degreed away than that.
I also feel like the most sustainable.
I'm happy I went now. At the time, I agree with what Bowen is about to say. You really wanted that kind of acting education.
Well, secretly, I was like, I am not in the right place.
You wanted the passion.
Wanted the passion. But my conception of what drama school was like was crying in a bathroom and having
Tom Oppenheim.
Stella Adler's grandson knocking on the door.
Yeah. It was Tom.
And I'll also never forget, I got in a huge fight because the casting of the plays had come out. Ugh. And I was cast as Lady Macbeth.
Fabulous.
And which no you wanted?
I did, because it's a great role, that people were out to kill me.
Oh, yeah, I've experienced that.
And this girl's boyfriend was Macbeth, and she was so upset and so mean that she started running down the halls.
Oh my God.
Weeping. And I was like, Eleanor, like, come, Eleanor, let's talk, Eleanor.
Oh my God.
And she was like, no, because she like desperately like wanted to be Lady Macbeth.
She wanted them to do like the power couple.
Like a power couple do the play. And so I remember like circling her and I was like, Eleanor, talk, Eleanor. She was like, no. And she always wore like really fancy Marc Jacobs because NYU has like those rich kids.
Yeah.
She was like draped in couture and like ignoring me. And then Stella Adler's grandmother saw us and she was crying and she goes, if my mother knew that you girls were arguing on Rosh Hashanah, I swear to God.
No.
this is like this time of year.
Yeah.
Wow. That is
September
unbelievable.
Casting.
So how did the production go ultimately?
So they brought in a director who directs Shakespeare, like the Harlem Shakespeare Company.
I love it.
So was not used to directing whites in their early 90s, like 20-year-old white girl. And so I was like, he wanted me to like spit on Macbeth. Whoa. And like grab his, I did do this thing where I was like, thou should know. And I would fake grab his balls and look him in the eyes.
Love that.
And be like, was
because
the hope.
She's really got the power.
Yeah, she's got the power to be like, was like, you know, the baby line. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm blanking on all of Lady.
Yes, yeah. I don't remember it either. Never was good at
Shakespeare. Was the hope drunk, grab his balls, look him in the eye, spit. It was very
okay.
And you did that.
I did that and I was doing it and I hit him or something and he was like, whoa, what's going on? And his direction was like, come on, she's crazy. And so I spit on him and the director was like, why did you do that? Like, what? That was so crazy. And I was like, well, you told me she's crazy. He goes, no, like, damn, you crazy.
Oh, my God.
And he was white. He's like an old white Italian guy.
Oh, God.
And so the day that we premiere our show, he sits us down and is like, enjoy this because you're probably never going to play these roles again.
What?
I remember this. God rest her soul, but Liz Suedos. Would fuck with my head. So we did a Tish main stage of Murat Saad.
Mm-hmm.
But I
remember that.
I played the Marquis de Sade.
Oh my God.
And it was controversy because I was in dramatic writing, but I was one of Liz's favorites. I mean, I can say now.
Yeah.
But she selected, and I remember I got
it. People were out to kill you.
They were out to kill me.
They do that. It's gross.
They were so upset. And I guess they had a point because I was not a drama student. Here I was in the main stage.
Sure.
I kind of was like, well, you know, this is what happens in the industry. Models are going to take your part, so it might as well be me.
You compared yourself to models.
Well, to models who had no rights to take the jobs.
Yeah, but it's true.
But I was like, you know what? Like, I honestly was just like fighting to be accepted.
Of course,
all the pressure on me to be good at the part. And then you add on to it, by the way, they made it a punk rock musical. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Did you see it? I
saw it, and I'm starstruck that it was you.
Oh, that was me. I was the Marquis de Sade. I sang the song where we got whipped, and it was like a punk rock ballad. It actually was pretty badass.
Okay.
I don't know if I did it well.
I don't remember a single fucking thing.
No, it was like a full fever dream. It was crazy. It was like being underwater.
It was 19-year-old screaming at a bunch of like fucking white middle-class adults.
They set it in a detention facility for like troubled youth.
Yeah.
And they also had us write our own monologues as the characters.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
In top of doing the text, which was musicalized in punk rock. It was insane.
That's what they do.
But I remember Liz would drive me nuts because she'd give me different direction every day. And totally different. Like, she's like, no, I want the character to be like Steven Tyler. So then I would come in and I'd be like Steven Tyler. She goes,
wait, can
no.
I see you do...
well,
let's unpack
when,
that.
When she said Steven Tyler, I was like, okay, so you want him to be like an active rock star.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
Johnny Depp.
You want him to be like, come in with swag. bag. Okay. She's like, no, it should be much more moody than that. I'm like, okay, well, Steven Tyler isn't moody. And then I kind of realized that she either one of two things, didn't know what she wanted and was going to, when she saw it, was like, do that. Or she wanted me to be confused.
She constantly wanted to keep it fresh and have you switch back and forth.
I think what she wanted was for me to be like a lunatic.
Yeah.
And and she succeeded. I was fully crazy. I dyed my hair black. Mm-hmm. Like, and that like changed my personality.
You looked like a villain.
I remember this time.
That's why I don't recognize you.
Probably. I remember Black Swan had just come out.
Oh my God. Yes. Wait. Yes. Yes,
you remember this era?
I too was at Tishton Black Swan.
Oh yeah, so that changed too. That changed the way you thought. I remember one time I had a. This is the most NYU story, and I probably have told it before.
I love these NYU
stories. I had a fight with my voice teacher, who asked me to. He asked me to sing that rock ballad in voice class with him, and I hadn't gone over it with him because he was trying to get me to sing. Oh, what a beautiful morning! And I just was like, this is not the way I sing. So he's like, can you sing the ballad that you sing in the show for me? Now I want to hear the way you're singing it. He told me I could tell you that you're not allowed to go on stage singing it the way you sing it, and I'm like, well, I have to sing it like from my gut, like I'm like thrashing around getting whipped while I do it. It's like I can't really sing it like this. I can't do it like this.
Yeah,
I have to do it like the way I'm being directed to do it.
Sure. Right.
He goes, this is why Tish sucks. They can't they don't teach you how to sing correctly. Steinhardt is the only place you learn how to sing correctly.
Oh, he was a Steinhardt
fight.
Queen.
We got into a fight. Mm-hmm. And I walked from that class like Natalie Portman in the last scene of Black Swan, walking to Lincoln Center, like crazed, her hair is askew.
Yes,
like I was like, and I stormed in. I like threw my makeup on the table and did my makeup, and it was like truly Tish.
Oh,
you don't get more Tish than that. And gave like a fucking 7 out of 10 performance, probably.
I remember seeing Black Swan in the Union Square. We saw it in that theater, and I saw it with a girl, and we were in the middle of a play. And I was so triggered by it
because
I felt like it was my story. That she was like, are you okay? And I was like, I have to go take a lap.
Yeah.
And I walked alone, like around Union Square and all that, and just like processed the film.
My God.
Not a good movie for narcissistic drama students.
Yeah, I was like, this narcissism story is my story.
I relate. There's a kernel of truth to this.
Yeah.
Both of you should be arrested for that behavior.
I know.
Oh, I fully should have been under arrest. I also was very sexually reckless at the time.
Oh.
Wait, Chalouse.
Hot producer Alex was in drama school at NYU.
No,
yeah.
I was creative writing.
Oh, cool.
I'm Joe Cilio. Hot producer
That's
Joe.
Better. That's better.
Joe was the
God.
Actor.
Creative writing was cool.
I would have pegged Alex for an actor this whole time. I'm sorry. You did act.
He's a fabulous actor and a great director.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I took creative writing and there was a girl who would show up with an entire pumpkin. Veganism had like just hit NYU.
Yeah. Wow.
And this girl showed up with like a baked pumpkin that she'd unwrap the tinfoil and that she would just eat the pumpkin.
I love that.
And we would read
I love her. Right.
And
she's an icon.
She was iconic. She was like,
wait, it's actually rule of culture number 17. Pumpkins
are iconic.
Especially in October.
They are.
There we go.
They are.
You know the pumpkin spice is back.
They are. I like the kaboka squash a lot.
What's this?
It's a Japanese pumpkin.
Oh.
I prefer my root vegetables Japanese. Like the Japanese sweet potato, Japanese pumpkin.
Wow. Yes. You're a taro girl.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Have you been to the East?
I have not.
You have to go to any McDonald's in East Asia.
Oh, and they'll have it?
They'll have apple pie, but then in the same pastry as the apple pie, they'll put taro in it.
Oh, really?
It's
I
so
love
good.
Taro.
It's so good.
Taro chips. Good. Yeah.
There we go.
It's a dangerous thing to cook, though.
Really? Oh, yes.
I'm from Berkeley, and so we like are weirdly eccentric.
For sure.
Everyone's like a white person being like, let me tell you like how to prepare taro. True story. But poison yourself if you don't like soak
really?
It or something. Yeah.
Shit, even I don't know that. Wait, can we talk about this? Okay, so what do you think? Because at this point, it seems like you've undone all of this like wild histrionic like drama school behavioral stuff.
I don't so.
But like, well, you can look back on it now and be like, oh my God, I can't believe
this. I was a nightmare. Yeah.
Well, I can't believe I was that person. Like, whether or not you're a nightmare is up to someone else.
That's true. That's actually very.
But what do you think was the thing that like helped you like? Was it just time or like, because at what point do you look back on yourself and be like, oh, I can't believe I was that person?
Yeah.
Getting into comedy. I had no sense of humor, but all throughout Tish was like, this is so dumb.
Yeah. You
know what I mean?
You knew at the back of your head.
Yeah. Like Rachel, was like, they knew they were funny.
Yeah.
But even Rachel didn't get into comedy until really after she graduated.
It didn't exist. It like truly did not exist in that space. It didn't exist in that space.
Yeah.
But also we had this awful class where they like typecast 19-year-olds basically.
Oh, God.
And so good for a 19-year-old.
So good for a 19-year-old. And I remember like that, like that day you'd like come in and be like, well, people tell me I kind of look like Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess I'm the next Kate Winslet. And like I remember like Rachel going up and some other funny Jewish girls and then being like, you're funny, you're this meets that, you're hilarious.
To you, saying that to you?
No.
To like Rachel and like the Jewish girls.
Oh, basically, God. Like, the Jewish girls got to be funny, and then I went up and I had highlights, which I still do, and they were like, elegant and complicated. And I died. It was like, it was monstrous.
They think they know what they're talking about, and all they do is get kids so in their heads that they can't actually find what they're meant to do.
Right, and I literally was like, but I'm and then I had to be like, you can't be like, I'm funny, but you know, they're like, well, you don't look funny.
Yeah, they do that. I mean, in Cap 21, we have friends that went to Cap 21 too, and they were the same thing. I mean, Dave gets told all the time, like, he said he got told a lot, like, you will never ever be funny. You are only handsome. Like he said, he'll even say, it's like,
it's gross.
You go up there and they assess you and they.
And they're out of work. I mean, not to shit, but like they don't have jobs. Right. They're just working in they work in a school.
Sure. Right. I mean, like, where's. Yeah, like.
They sat us down. I'll never forget. They sat us down, this guy, and he pointed to all of us and he'd go, romantic lead, character actor, romantic lead, character actor. And then you go, in between.
Did you ever hear the story? Like, they had this dance teacher, I guess his name was like Lloyd or something.
Of course.
And he would just go and he'd be like, chorus, lead, funny, no career.
What a fucking nightmare. Like,
it's a nightmare.
And he would just like, they would call him real life Lloyd. Ugh. Because he would give you the real life.
And it makes you so self-involved. My friend was staying with me at the time, and I had everyone from our class come over and like point and be like, well, you are Rachel McAdams though, because like, no, but like, you really are like, you're sweet. You don't see it, but you are. And how we see you.
Holy
and
hell.
My friend, she was like she's like a hyper genius journalist student, and was like, why are you here? Like, this was so traumatic and gross for me to witness.
God, I mean, like, I'm still, like, reckoning with that bullshit from high school. And that is, like, there's no structure behind that. But, like, I don't know.
High school? What happened in high school?
I just had, like, shitty adults who, like, didn't know what they were talking about. Be like, you will never be, like, you will never be, like, someone who will, like, be, like, prominently featured on stage.
That's
like,
terrible.
make it work as, like, milk it as a chorus member. Do that.
Somebody said to me one time, not handsome enough to be the star, but not ugly enough to be the best friend. So,
What?
Like, and then I was like, and they were like, create your own work.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's really.
I'm like, I'm holding my face right now. You guys can see. Oh my God.
It gets worse in LA.
Okay, really?
Yeah. But then it's like funny. And
you have you know who you are.
I mean, I know that I don't like to be myself.
Sure. Auditions in LA, I mean, I've only done it like for 1 week, but like the people who work those are their own breed of people.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, I mean, like,
you mean the people who like run the casting?
Well, like, yeah, I did one with this woman who like worked out of a bungalow, lovely bungalow in Silver Lake.
That's a big deal to get to her bungalow.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
I think I do too.
She has she has like the sort of like the short hair.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you to get to that bungalow.
Didn't have any sides. She was off book with the whole thing. Was giving me like full like grounded realism. Like, hey, so, and I was like, oh, we're just doing it. Like, she walked into the room, she sits down, and then she just starts. She started the scene, and I was like, oh. And it was fine. And then, like, afterwards, she goes, I'm going to need you to come back in tomorrow, okay? Josh needs, like, the guy needs to see. She was like, Josh needs to see you, and, I see what you're doing, and just, like, try. Like, it was just, like, so bizarre. It was lovely. Like, it was a positive experience, but I was like, oh, people in LA are so specific in how they do this.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, they say it's harder. It's harder than theater. The specificity, the choices.
I see.
I agree with that.
It's true.
Because when you're acting on stage, you can perform.
You can perform.
But when you are acting on camera, you have to be acting.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you can't hide from the camera.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's this awful teacher who actually, have you heard about this like drama that happened where this woman told a Jewish girl to be Hispanic?
Yes. Right.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
did
yes.
Were we talking about that the other day?
We were, yeah.
Yeah, I love talking about it. I can't like
that. They said
to a Jewish girl that she should
change her name to Rosa Ramirez. so right. that she'll right. work.
I
in
read
Hollywood.
About this. She's based in New York. This person.
The teacher.
The teacher.
No,
yeah.
she's in LA.
Oh, she's in LA. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, I was in her class and around that time, and wow. I ended up dropping out and used this to get out of it. But yeah. I remember I like showed up and wasn't fully off book, and she looked at me and was like, "How can I critique your acting when you're not off book?" And I literally said like the instead of and. It was like, yeah.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like my line was like the
oh,
and it was like procedural doctor sides that like I'll never ever go out for or yeah. has anything to do with my life.
Yeah.
I was like the spinal fifida, and she's. Like, how can
I like
critique
spinal fifida better?
Yeah, spinal. How can I critique your acting?
If you're not,
never not off book.
Yeah,
that is.
I kind of live for that.
I know that's the thing. I was like, I kind of am like,
I kind of
I love
you.
That.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of think you're amazing.
Yeah,
it is. Wow, it's like that cold like authority without raising your voice.
Oh,
it's just.
It's literally Meryl. It's what you did the other day. It's Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada. She barely raises her voice.
She never
does. It's stillness.
Yeah,
but those. But then like ever since I've thought of that, like I'm just like I'm trying to like emulate. But like, but then you seem like a. You have to, that has to be earned. Like, I can't just do that from now on.
Yeah.
Without just, someone being like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, to be quiet and yeah. like still.
Well, that's the weird thing, right? It's like at this stage of our career where it's like starting out, it's like you go in there and you make a big choice and they're like, what the fuck? What do they think they are? Like, why didn't they do what they were supposed to do?
Right.
But it's like, but I'm told to make choices.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I had a really bad, my worst audition like so far was in New York, like in the winter.
What was it? No, don't say what it was, but like, what was the experience?
What was
I showed up. I had a fun rainbow sweater that was like trending at the time. I love a trend.
Yep.
Thoughty 30. And the woman, I like sit down. I brought like glasses because she was a nerd. Uh-huh. And then she was like, please take off your sweater. I like was wearing like a silk and then a bra. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. So I took off the sweater and I like did it. And she was like, do you act?
Oh my God.
And I was
God.
Like, what? She's like, well, no, I mean, you do the skits and the sketches, but
wow.
do you act?
Jesus
scripted,
Christ.
Scripted material.
Here's the thing. This just goes without saying, but I'm just realizing this again now. It's so much worse for women.
I was just going to say the same
really?
Thing.
Yeah.
No casting director has
really?
Ever treated
me
like that.
Really?
Never. Never.
And I'm
maybe
sorry.
A gay man.
Really? Well,
but then I take that. I'm like, oh, great. We're just queening out. It's
yeah,
fun.
But sometimes it's the maybe a gay man would be like, sweetie, or can we do this? Like, but
yeah.
no, and maybe commercially, directors, casting directors for commercials are a little bit more like, just like not willing to engage.
Just
like
snippy,
it's more
yeah.
in and out, but
we
that's kind of the
like,
nature of that. But I've never
a woman's
been spoken
power
to
trip. Yeah.
like that. Yeah,
to another woman is. Just
I felt
like,
so bad, and because I was like, I'm not good at multicam yet.
Oh, what?
It's hard.
Yeah, you
it was
also really
like I got it.
That.
You know, it was like I got it the night before. I had like 5 hours.
Right,
it was
right.
like 8 pages.
Oh God,
do you
I hate
act?
That. Yeah,
you,
that's
so
you do
annoying.
The skits in this.
Yeah, and I hate when people call like what we do skits.
It's like rule number. It's rule number 90
three.
Of culture.
Yeah.
They're called sketches.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And then, so then, comedy was this thing that, like, you would say helped undo a lot of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
When you graduate Adler, they don't really give you like any career advice because you're just used to playing these alcoholics, nailing them.
Wow.
And so they send you across the street to One on One. Do you know that place?
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
One on One Studios. It's on 27th, and they have casting director workshops, so you go to those.
You like learn how to do on camera.
Right.
Yeah, you learn how to do on camera, and like I would go to those and like cry and do those kind of things, and they're like, we want to see your funny side. But yeah, it wasn't until I like moved to LA and just was like really lost that got into it.
How did you get into it?
My mom told me to do improv to find a guy.
So where did you go? Groundlings or UCB?
I went to Groundlings and I was like, they're all gay.
Yeah, Groundlings is pretty
gay. It's very gay.
Groundlings
it's my home. It's my home. Yeah, it's women and gays and like one straight guy from Ohio.
Well, love and he's probably wonderful.
Yeah, he is. It's like literally Indiana, Ohio. Everyone else is gay and women.
Yes.
It feels like the Groundlings is gay.
But
it's
like,
very gay.
But
it's also, well, I shouldn't say this, but it's a little homophobic.
Really? Because are they playing stock?
Well, it's like Drew Drogi is like my hero.
Yeah.
Like he's like
we
my
love
divine.
Drew. We've had him on.
Yeah, my divine inspiration. I've loved him forever, and he was not a groundling, which blows my mind because I think he's one of the most talented people of all time.
He's amazing.
Where did he come up again? I thought for the longest time I thought it was Groundlings.
He was Groundlings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And they like just this year are letting men play women. Like it's just a slower game.
Really? That's so interesting.
But I like it there because all the teachers are women.
Right.
Great.
And gays. Perfect. And I like that. The thing, UCB's like, it kind of kept me in LA for a while because I felt like I could develop as like a female.
Yeah, I hear that. I think that at UCB, it's only recently, and when I say recently, I think in the last 5 or 6 years, it's become this place where it's like you see more than one
queer person,
gay person, than one woman. Like now there's like a whole community, large community of people in the New York scene that are like, you know, queer or like even just like you see color. More. I think is the only time. And I think it did have a lot to do with having a female artistic director where most of the teams are half women, half men.
Yeah.
But that was not the case.
No. In LA, you'd like walk in and you'd be blinded by the Plaid. You'd sort of like see like all this, you'd see like the Keds or whatever, or the Converse and then the Plaid. And then you'd have to like look up because everyone was so tall.
Yep.
it was men.
Yeah. Taking improv classes there. I started in 2009 and it was like, it was
dicey.
It's already like, vulnerable and you're anxious taking an improv class.
Yeah.
And
right.
Because you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And then when it's everyone is like a certain type of person, you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna die.
You know what's so interesting? I was talking to someone, Maritza Montañez. She teaches UCB 101 now. She's great. But I ran into her and like I was catching up with her and she was like, yeah, I'm teaching classes now. And then she brought up something interesting where she was like, it's interesting giving feedback to people in one-on-one where they don't have the language yet. They don't have the language for you to say like, oh, you're not playing game, this was off game. Like the only way you can note these people at 101 is to be like, hey, that wasn't funny. Like you can't make a disabled joke because that's not funny.
It's every scene.
Yeah.
And when people start out, they don't know how to not be offensive.
Right.
No, it's really true. Those are my treasure troves are those 101 classes.
Oh, yeah.
Even 201.
Yeah.
In terms of your own stuff or like watching other people?
Watching other people. And like, I remember I had to repeat 201 for some reason. Like, I took a while to get through it.
Sure,
and
sure.
In LA, the people who take those classes are like, business, like for so long it's no one who actually wants to do it,
which
makes it so fun and funny.
So fun.
Like really old people.
There's always the one like really outliery person.
Yeah.
In New York, you mean?
Well, in any class, I feel like there's in always LA, that there's one like person you'll never forget.
Yeah.
There was like a glitch. I was signing up for 401. I took 401.
There
was like a glitch. I was signing up for 401. I took 401 with Doug Moe.
Oh, Doug.
And it was like there was only 8 people in the class due to a glitch.
Wow.
And like so that one guy was like in every scene. Because he just by nature of it, we all did more scenes because there was only 8 of us. And so it just became so overwhelming that it was like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I don't know.
It's pretty weird.
I don't miss being in classes.
No.
I never thrived there. I was never the person that was like crushing it in class.
That's, you don't want to be that.
Right.
That's what I was at NY. I crushed class and then failed at life. Years.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, that's a gross thing to. I crushed.
But that's the true thing.
That's
the
thing.
Where you're like, the teacher likes me.
Yeah. I would say, I didn't love classes at UCB. I mean, they're great. They're necessary. But like, I would say that I was always a good student in class. And then outside, in the outside world, I'd be like, whoa, I'm terrible at this.
Yeah.
But I still have this weird thing with improv now. But anyway.
Yeah.
I think that is like such a good, I think that's such a rich, like, trajectory, topography, whatever for you, because it's
topography.
It just like, I don't know, you're just like evening that out in such a nice way where it like
that
like re-equilibrates. I don't know, I'm using all these big words.
Yeah. But it comes in handy for like impression stuff. Like all those years of
Impressionista.
Can we like get into this? Like I don't want to get too process oriented on this, but like
I have 5 beverages.
Amazing.
So totally
she does have a solid 5 beverages on her.
Oh my god, she's pulling out more.
So let's just talk about what we have here.
Oh my god,
we have Essentia. This is just a water bottle.
Classic Essentia bottle.
We have a, in her own words, disgusting juice press.
Mother Earth.
Drinking most of it. Of course.
We have what's this? B12.
I feel tired.
Great.
Complex.
B12 complex.
And we have, what's this here? We have lime mint carbonated juice press, another probiotic
beverage. But it's made with cane sugar, so I'm taking my time.
Oh, God, cane
and
sugar.
And, of course, a canned
Cold brew.
Nitro cold brew.
And I was just paid for something, so I actually spent $30.
Okay. Wow. And then it means nothing.
You just got paid.
New York
is so
expensive. I love to have beverages.
I love beverages, and then I always forget how expensive it's going to be.
Right.
Especially, $30. What, the juice press was probably like $8-$9.
I think I forgot that.
You did. This looks like $40 to me.
$30 of...
And it's bottles.
And it's all bottles that are all bad for the environment.
And here we are.
But it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. I feel like it's curated, nice. It looks like I could post it.
It is. It's a tableau.
Yeah,
it's
gorgeous. It is. Yeah.
It's, I want them in the picture that we take.
Yeah.
For the
yes. Yeah, yes. We can all hold one.
Culturistas, we have some exciting news we want to tell you all about. Did you know Las Culturistas is in bed with DC Vertigo, the legendary Legs and Dairy comic book imprint behind Sandman, Why the Last Man, Preacher, and more?
I did know that, and yes, I know there is going to be Las Culturistas ads in DC Vertigo comic books, and I'm very excited about this. So, Bo, why don't you tell the people at home about a new comic book where they might just see our... little faces.
Our little faces will show up in a new comic book called House of Whispers, and issue number one is in stores right now.
Yes, House of Whispers. Isn't that a brand new chapter in the Sandman universe?
Yes.
And doesn't it take place in New Orleans and center around the world of voodoo mythology?
Yes.
And isn't House of Whispers the one written by award-winning novelist Nalo Hopkinson, who is linked with the creation of the Afrofuturism literary movement?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds fantastic.
It truly actually sounds amazing. So we have the first issue, and it is fantastic. I cannot wait to read more. Here are some reasons you should pick up House of Whispers today. Number one, it's a fusion of magical realism and southern fantasy, a realm of fantasy often unseen in mainstream comic culture.
Well, that was number one. Here comes number two.
Number two, strong queer POC women kicking ass. And
this is number three.
Number three, a story about the power of magic, mystery, and dreams all working together to save planet Earth.
So get House of Whispers right now. You can find it in comic stores, online on Comixology, or readdc.com. That's readdc.com, or wherever you get your comics.
Process
impressionista.
Yeah.
So when did you discover you could do them? And like
when I had to for submitting for some stuff.
Stuff. So yeah. Then, so really? Oh, it was you had.
Yeah.
When you had to discover you could do them.
Yeah, because at UCB you're not allowed to.
Right.
And in your mod audition you're not allowed to. And Groundlings you're not allowed to.
Oh, you're not allowed to in Groundlings either.
No.
They encourage no impressions for
characters.
Welcome in mod. We were told to do it.
Yeah, and I remember like in a class doing like Drew Barrymore or something and being like, oh, I guess I actually sound like her. That's crazy. Like that's literally crazy.
Flower Films.
Flower Films.
Flower Films.
Flower Press.
Hi. I can't do it.
Crocs.
this is what I want to get into. Like, what are the first little things that you key in on? Or is it just more of a holistic thing where you just like learn the whole
I think it depends. I think like my brain was washed because we had voice class for like 3 days a week at Adler. And so I usually go to the voice first because I feel like I'm like, it's the only way I feel like I'm actually applying undergrad.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's actually, Kristen Wiig said the same thing. They asked her about impressions.
Really?
And they were like, she said that she doesn't even watch videos of people necessarily at first. She listens to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I watch. It's a lot of like mindless YouTube and then kind of like finding what makes you laugh. So the game. Like I just watch them until something they do makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that, because you have to have a take.
Sure.
Which I find it easier just to, like be them.
To just be them?
Yeah.
Like, okay, like with Gigi, for example.
That was her voice, 100%.
That was her voice.
That was like, watching Vogue 21 Questions and being like, what atrocious.
Hey, like, it's
hey guys. Diane really likes pizza. And
and you're like, you look like a cat goddess and the voice.
And the voice of like a 7-year-old boy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And it's like kind of, it's like she's from Malibu and things aren't pronounced correctly. And
yeah. So usually,
I think my favorite that you do is Nicole Kidman
in
Big Little Lies.
Thank you.
The wig is on point.
Thanks. That was,
you make me laugh.
That was pressure to submit a tape for something.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like I could do Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
And I locked myself. I didn't have HBO in my apartment, so I drove to San Francisco.
What?
I was like, man, when I have a deadline, I like get manic.
Yeah, people yeah, do same, that. Same, same. We're all.
I feel like I notice in LA, they're like, I have to write, and they're like in a hotel somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Everyone's like at the Madonna Inn.
I understand it. Yeah.
So yeah. I was like, I'm gonna go home.
That's what I did. Oh my
three days, like a day of it was in travel. I literally drove. And wow. and just like watched it, and yeah, her laugh made me laugh.
Yeah,
so I was like, you we have a tape. Me laugh.
She, me it's me so laugh. Funny with Nicole Kidman too, because like, stunning performance, like, amazing she's performance. Amazing. She's incredible. Yeah. But does she slip into her own accent often? Yes. Yes, honey.
Yes,
she does, honey, and you can't deny.
Yeah,
but you're still. I had that SAG ballot in my hands, and I checked. Nicole Kidman.
There you go. Yeah.
There's no
it's
way.
It's the scene in the therapist's office.
Absolutely.
It's like stunning.
Oh, it's absolutely. I mean,
I have
that,
to go back and
that,
watch.
Just that
it's just
scene,
that one scene.
That was amazing.
The first one or the last one?
Where when they're together.
When they're together.
The therapist actress, I forgot her name, is an incredible.
Incredible. She's she incredible. Was in she was in Angels in America.
I have to remember.
Was she?
Yeah.
Her, she was in Deadwood. She's like.
Who, Angels in America, the play or the HBO?
The HBO thing.
Who's she in the
HBO? She was like one of the figurines in the museum that comes to life and talks to Harper.
I love those people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
But yeah, that therapist. Oh my god.
Oh, oh my god. No, I'm not accepting not knowing her name.
Erin. I think it's Erin.
No. Ugh.
And the way she just like gently prods the questions.
Robin Weigert.
Robin Weigert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. She's tremendous. And
one
she,
of the best.
She just played a fucking great therapist. You know what I mean? Like that's and Nicole and the way that Nicole responds to Alexander in that scene.
Amazing.
Like, I also think Alexander Skarsgård. He's amazing.
Oh,
he deserves every award he won for that.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's
incredible. The show doesn't work without him being terrifying and terrible. And
yeah.
And you have to imagine that a lot of actors were like hesitant to do something like that, because when you're too good at playing that, it's like, especially now, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You get, people are so stupid. They can't separate the two.
Yeah.
He's tremendous.
And then with Hannah Gadsby.
Oh,
that was that was voice and like
that was like my friend Casey, who I Shardy Party 69.
Yeah, I love 69. Him.
Yeah, I love Shardy. Yeah. Shardy's the best. We were like thinking of new ones to do, and he's like, I think you should take on Hannah. Like we treat it like a role.
Take on
like you
Hannah.
Treat it like
take
a role
on.
You're
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
you should do Hannah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was really hard. I had to watch her a lot. And then even when we shot the video, the first 45, like we had like so many first takes of it, and it was sounded like Emma Thompson doing an impression of like it was just like a bad Emma Thompson impression for so long.
I loved the backdrop you guys used. It's her backdrop and like it was the stool
mic.
And a water mic, and then like, oh my god, it was
that's what's
so
fun about
funny.
We just do it for fun because finding the green screen like finding the image is honestly one of the most fun.
Well, the fun of it really comes through. You know what I mean? And then
because it feels like Drew. Even it feels like Drew doing a Chloe
video.
Drew
is my divine inspiration.
Ugh.
He really is. He's carved the path.
Well, I mean, truly, like Drew was one of these first people in like this modern, contemporary, whatever sense
of internet comedy.
Of internet comedy, where Matt and I were like, who is this?
Yeah.
Chloe was huge for us.
Huge.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Enormous.
When I found out he taught at Groundlings, I like lost my shit.
Yes, yes.
And ran to his class. And he's a really intense teacher.
Oh, sure.
I would not.
He barks and he's like, no,
I love that.
No. Shut up, no.
See, like that.
I love that.
That sounds similar than like any sort of drama school Adler. Like
it is. It totally. I felt at home at Groundlings because the teachers are really like mean, but it's funny.
In a way that is like, that makes you want to do better, where not in a very stressful way. I mean, it's stressful, but it's not as destructive as like someone at Adler being like, no, like, I don't know.
My first impression, oh, I'm being so gross, but my very first impression was our Shakespeare teacher. I have this acting teacher character. That's me just doing an impression of this old gay man who taught us Shakespeare, who was like, you have to grow a penis.
You have to grow a penis.
Yeah, he like whisked, he'd come up in your ear playing Lady Macbeth. You have to grow a penis.
You have to grow a penis is the title.
Penis.
You have to grow a penis.
You have to grow a penis.
Make sure write that down, HPA.
And then he'd be like, throw your pussy in the ring. And we were 18.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my god, a teacher's using the word pussy.
Pussy. If you were doing Hamlet and I was Ophelia, he would ruffle your hair and then whisper in your ear, imagine she's sucking your cock.
Oh my god. Yeah. But that's like, that's Sling Blade.
I know. It was so, I feel like it would not fly today.
Oh, never.
But I loved it.
No, I mean, the thing is like, impressions for me are the hardest.
Really?
I am not so good at them. So what I always do is
I pick a take. And it's kind of like
we were watching. That's smart, though. That's like what you really should do. Sure. It has to have a take.
Well, when it can be, when people can be like, oh my God, that was such a good impression, I think that's great. Those have to have takes too. And all of yours have strong takes.
Such a strong
but the thing is, like I see people like Maya Rudolph, I don't think is a good impressionist, but she always has the funniest the take.
Like her Beyonce.
Her Beyonce is like, you know, it's a fine Beyonce, but for example, we were watching her do Omarosa from way back.
Oh my God.
And it was
She did Omarosa?
Yes. She did Omarosa.
Wait, that's problematic. Am I wrong?
No.
Oh, wait, is Maya Rudolph half black?
Yes, she is.
Oh. Black.
Well,
okay.
Yep. But the thing is, it was like,
it was
she did Maya Rudolph and she spoke in a voice that was like this.
It was mid-Atlantic, and it was so off the mark.
Where is Donald Trump?
She does a lot of Mr. Trump. Her mid-Atlantic stuff is hilarious.
It's so funny.
So fun.
She's
and, I mean,
so funny.
You don't care that it's not a good Omarosa because it's so funny. It's... So like, but like I remember, in my JFL set I had a Channing Tatum, and it's not a good Channing Tatum.
Oh, did
like,
you dance?
It is good.
I danced a little bit. The game was that he's cripplingly insecure.
Yeah,
but like,
and he's mad that no one saw Jupiter Ascending.
No, he's furious that no one saw Jupiter Ascending, and is very upset that people like him for his body and not his acting. But that, like,
I think he's a really good actor.
He's actually
very good.
He's
good actor.
Really good. He's dropped in Hawney. He's dropped right in
Hawney.
He's Adler. No, but like the thing is, like it's like for people that cannot do impressions like myself, but can do original characters, it's like, you gotta just like make sure you cover it up with like a fucking take, because I see people like you and people that can do impressions, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's like a whole other fucking ball game.
Yeah.
It's like it's so. But your way you're talking about it is like you do have to go about it the same way.
Yeah, you just you watch it a lot.
Yeah,
and like sometimes they're really bad until they're good.
That's
what it is. You just break through the bad until it gets good. But then like the thing about Chloe is that she also just has like a good observational lens in general, like. Steering wheel acting, I think, is so funny. That's the best.
Thank
you. So good.
Thank you.
So good.
You're the queen of steering wheel acting.
Thank you.
You do it better than who does steering wheel acting for real?
Well, okay. So it started with Annette in American Beauty.
Ms. Benning.
Yeah, there's five accounts of it.
Right.
And then they do it in Big Little Lies a lot.
Oh,
they do.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
my
yeah.
favorite. That's when I just
I want more.
Yeah, that's my favorite scene, and that's when Nicole Kidman's like, and she does her like.
Stop.
This thing, that's steering wheel, and then Elizabeth Moss did it in Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
So much. She does it like four times.
Yeah,
and that's this like she has the wheel and she's like fuck.
Yes,
fuck.
It's so good. There's
it's so good. There's
so
just something,
powerful.
It's so powerful, and it's how you win awards. Like I really feel like it's gonna get her, might get her another Emmy. I want it to go to Sandra Oh.
But we were talking about this.
Me too.
I think it could go to Sandra and then one other person.
I mean, Elizabeth Moss's performance is so undeniable.
Yeah.
That it's like, she doesn't talk.
Like,
well, it might
Sandra
be one
Oh
of those things
with
though.
Like the stuff, the way Sandra Oh makes words come out of her. I know that sounds really, but
she's a prophet.
She,
the way, like I would never make those words come out.
Yeah,
like they're so authentic and emotional.
It's brand
and,
new every time.
When I did the Sandra Oh lip sync, I was like, wow.
I know, and I noticed it when you did that.
She's making a lot, like so many micro choices.
Yeah, she's like, and the way that you felt yeah.
Something, and then
the S's. Yeah. It's so delicious.
And then the end, and that. Will never happen again.
And also, it's just like you look at just the words and you think, wow, if I got this as an actor, like
what
it
would
be so different and so much worse. Because
so
this
much
is,
worse.
It's just like, ugh, she's a fucking champion.
She uses
Dynamo.
Words. Yeah, words are like played with.
I gotta look up the other nominees because I feel like if it's not Elizabeth and if it's not Sandra, then it's someone else. I mean, nominations. Anyway, I don't know. It's a great year though.
There's a lot of steering wheel acting in Sharp Objects, but I find that show hard to.
Hard to watch because it's a little triggering. Yeah.
Well, it's like I would watch it eating breakfast and then be like, it's not good.
One.
It's slow.
And I love Amy Adams. I do.
I do too.
I'm obsessed with her.
I do too.
But
not that much in this.
It's a tough one for me too.
It's tough.
What do we got?
Claire Foy, I think, because it's her last.
She's outstanding.
It's her last season as Elizabeth.
They're talking about Miss Claire Foy for the supporting actress Oscar. First Man. The first reviews of First Man. Because now Venice is happening.
Yeah.
And so now we have all the first reviews of the big Oscar movies. So First Man got reviews.
Yeah.
some people are raving, some people not. Star Is Born, the reviews have come out, and they're all very positive.
Yes, they're saying it's
actually a sleigh and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gotta work on that Lady Gaga.
You must work on the Lady Gaga.
You have to.
First of all, she's giving you so much material just in that in that scene alone when he's like, I just want to take another look at you.
That face.
There was so much material in her Netflix special.
Oh, she's giving you material for eons. And then what else? You know what movie I heard is good? There's a movie coming out with Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone, and Olivia Colman called The Favorite.
Oh, which looks really good. It's the same lobster guy?
Yorgos Lanthimos.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like
Olivia Colman's in it?
Olivia Colman plays like a queen.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
And Emma Stone, and I guess Rachel Weisz is like just under her. And then Emma Stone plays like the new servant that they hire.
Okay.
Or something like that. Like someone new to like this estate.
Gorgeous.
And it's like a comedy, like a like, sort of comedy of manners.
Yeah.
And rave reviews, and they're saying that Emma Stone is phenomenal in it.
She's good.
She's good.
She's really good. I think she's really talented.
She is very, very, and she seems like a good. And she's a good person.
Yeah.
She seems like a good person.
Yeah, no, for like from people who like whatever peripherally know her, everyone's just like, she's like a solid human being.
Yeah.
And I feel, don't they call her like Emmy or
Emmy. Ma.
Emily.
Ma.
Emily.
Chloe, I think we should ask you the question we ask all of our guests.
I think we gotta ask this question.
And I this and you and we like screened this for you earlier and you
and let's see if I say the same thing.
And you were self-conscious, but I believe you should.
This is a great choice. Okay, so and you can change your answer if you want.
I'll stick to the
Okay, cool. Chloe, what is the culture that made you say culture is for me?
That like, defining pop culture that made you say, wow, I might be forming into a person due to this.
The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
I love this answer.
And I love this answer. Just celebrated its 20th anniversary,
which is insane.
That's
insane.
Okay, so then what are you? Okay, so then let's dive into this.
So I'm from Berkeley,
and
like white people don't love. Listen to white people music.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I've always been the person where they're like, you have more phases than the moon. But the Miseducation, I was like, no, this is me. Yeah. And I started wearing like Rastafarian.
Oh my God.
It was so, I was just like
You're
Little
so
Miss
Berkeley.
I just was appropriating everything I possibly could.
Sure. Yeah.
But like really felt it, like smoked weed for the first time.
But it all came from this earnest place.
Like womanhood and hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like the first time I really had a crush on somebody.
Wow.
Yeah. Andrew G.K.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It was like, it was associated with like, I'm going to listen to this music and like flirt with this guy.
Yeah. It was that music that kicked in just as you were kind of becoming a person.
Yeah.
Right.
That was me for me, Mariah.
Blackstreet was like around that same time.
Yeah. Wow.
Was it Fugees leading into?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
okay,
and
yeah,
when I bought the Fugees album, it was like all at that same time, especially the Fugees.
Wow. I mean, that album.
I mean, yeah, they're the best.
But there's something still to this day, like when, my God, Do Up That Thing comes on, you're like, this is unique.
You'll never hear it again.
Yeah. It's,
although I really like hip hop right now. This new like lady hip hop that's
lady
coming
hip-hop.
Through.
Do you know Tierra Whack? You gotta check her out. She just came. She just released.
I know you like Jungle Pussy because I see you
love first. Jungle Pussy,
and I deeply love you for that.
Jungle Pussy, yeah. There's some like hints of Lauryn Hill, like
a little
some
bit,
some influence of Lauryn.
Yeah.
But y'all should check out Tierra Whack. She's this like 25-year-old girl from Philly. She's
great. Think I was just listening. Did she do a thing with Kanye?
I don't know if she did do a thing. I think she's She people love her, the hip hop like higher ups, like,
oh, see, that's when you know.
That's when you know. But like she basically put out this visual album, and all the tracks are a minute long, and it's 15 songs, so it's a 15-minute visual album.
Oh, cool.
And you listen to it in 15 minutes, and it's all like wonderful little
vignettes
of melodies, and you're like, oh, these are all really good.
That's a cool way to do it.
T-I-E-R-R-A.
I was listening to Teyana Taylor.
Oh, Teyana's great.
My co-star in the
pussy.
After party.
Wait, what? She's in the after party?
Really? Yes, bitch. I'm obsessed.
I have scenes in this Netflix movie,
really?
And she's like in
she's
it.
She's in it?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was just walking past the brick like... living
yes.
like oh my God she's amazing
yeah
oh
people are really into her
she's
everyone
really,
was
really,
super
really
excited
good.
When they found out she was gonna be in the movie
you
really?
Listen to Work This Pussy right
no
love
bitch you're gonna pop your genitals
bussy. I'm gonna pop my bussy
you're gonna pop your bussy to Work This
she
Pussy.
Came up because I was listening to City Girls and on do you know City Girls
no
They have this song called Period. It's like the best song I've ever heard.
Yes.
The women are coming back.
Yes, they are. I mean, like, and it's not this thing where it's like, oh, there are no female MCs. No,
they're
here.
Here and they're huge. I mean, it's I feel like Lizzo. They should just have a concert where it's just like Lizzo and Princess Nokia and Jungle Pussy.
Okay, Princess Nokia, people are like turning on her.
Everyone's turning on her.
Why?
Because she did that alternative album.
Oh.
Is that sort of the way it goes? Like, you're not allowed to do anything different?
I think they were, but I love her. I think she's very talented.
People are turning on Doja Cat now.
Yes.
Because she tweeted this thing out of nowhere where she was like,
what did she say?
She was like, am I homophobic if I use the word faggot when I was in high school? I would just call people faggot. Faggot.
She's playing an Azalea thing.
Although Azalea, how do you feel about Azalea? Because I feel like she's one of those people where
I love Azalea Banks. Sorry.
I kind of love Azalea
because
Banks.
Her talent sort of transcends the insanity.
Yeah.
And like her whole thing with Elon Musk, I cannot believe.
It's so fucking funny.
It's so fucking funny.
The fact that she called Grimes a Pabst beer pussy is genius.
Genius.
If we all knew Azalea Banks, she would leave rooms and we would say, that bitch is so crazy but so funny.
Like, okay, Matt and I like pulled up the video where she called that flight attendant a faggot and it's hilarious.
Well, first of all, we have to say something. That flight attendant was a faggot.
Stop.
Like, I'm sorry, come for me.
No,
I'm a faggot too.
But I just want to repeat the way she says it because it's
fuck it, faggot.
No, she goes, no, it's not that. She goes, it's deeper. It's like she drops, like the draw is more slashed.
Yeah, okay,
she goes,
sure.
Fucking faggot.
Yeah, she says it from her soul. But the thing is, like,
it's insane.
Here's the thing.
Fucking faggot.
Let's paint a picture in our heads of what this is.
Yeah.
We hear about the way that some of these flight attendants treat people.
Oh.
We hear about fucking racism. We hear about misogyny.
Yeah, sure.
You're gonna tell me Azalea Banks being who she is, so I was seated on her plane. Maybe she's being a little extra. That doesn't mean you fucking not
block. You don't let her off the
you're
plane.
You're blocking her on the plane.
Right,
and you're not letting her have her bag.
No, totally.
Like,
that flight attendant was not.
Look, she shouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
But also, at the end of the day, like, what the hell? Why are you abusing her? Let her get off the plane. Then we don't have to deal with it at all.
This is all to say, Treasure Island, this track that she came out with like a month ago,
is
so good.
It's so good. That's the thing. Her music is so good.
Is crazy good.
It's so good.
What are you going to do? You're going to be mad at her for speaking truth to power?
No.
I have to read, I think, my favorite tweet of all time. I'm sorry.
Am I a problematic fave for saying that?
No, I
used to see her in downtown LA a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Just like, and she'd be
chilling,
eating eggs at the Ace Hotel. Why I was at the Ace Hotel in downtown LA, I don't know. I like weird. I lived down there and I thought that I would have this life where I get up and I
go to the Ace Hotel.
Yeah.
People do it here all the time.
I see it in New York all the time. Yeah, because it's right by Adler.
Right.
So I thought I would live
there. Ace Hotel is where we watch Drag Race. Now that it's on Thursdays, we can't.
When it's not packed
in
those couches, it's gorgeous and it's cozy.
It's the best.
And
it's
productive.
Cool.
And it's a great place for a little nightcap.
Yeah. She'd always have these eggs and these crazy nails. And I'd see her and she'd look up and I'd be like, I love you. I love you.
Yeah.
Just freak out.
I mean, her music is no joke.
Can I just read this? My favorite tweet of all time. I think I've read this to you.
Jace.
This was right after Anna Wintour came out. So this is recent. She goes, and this was right after Nicki Minaj wore a mermaid tail in a music video. And then Azalea freaked out. And it's people are copying
me, all this stuff. Well, she's not.
So, I mean, sure. As she goes, LOL, female rap is a mess today. Yet I'm still the most original, talented, and the most skinny. All caps. drinking my skinny watermelon teeny, staring from the kitchen window as I watch the raccoons scrounge for art in my garbage bins.
Oh my God.
Like, that's an artful tweet.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. She's amazing. Although Jungle Pussy's pretty skinny.
Jungle Pussy's great.
Yeah.
Jungle Pussy's amazing. I think
she has these great. She had this whole thing about how to make like a skin potion. I like her because she's like healthy.
Yeah. She's like a healthy.
She's a healthy rapper about like shea butter and lemongrass.
She'll give you lifestyle tips.
Yeah, I took her lifestyle tips.
Have you listened to Kaylee 47?
No.
Oh
yes, of course. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
So good.
Wait, there's a new one. Handbags.
Oh, I haven't listened to that.
That's really good.
Oh my God.
Oh, like, yeah. All the time. Great. All the time.
She's amazing.
That's my, I listen to it when I like get on a plane.
Yes.
And I feel no fear.
That's great plane music.
So hip hop is your genre.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and it started with the Miseducation of
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this.
Because my mom was like, you can play this. I like this.
Oh. Yeah. So yeah, it was Mama approved.
Mama approved. So I could listen to it all the time in the car.
Yeah.
It's an incredible album. X Factor, Doo-Wop. God.
Still one of the most successful albums of all time.
Sure. Yeah. And even that bonus track, You're Just Too Good to Be True.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And it came out like when Sheryl Crow CDs were coming out. Yeah. So it just felt like
there was not that space filled. You're right. It was Lilith Fair.
Yeah,
it was Lilith Fair.
It was Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
Sheryl Crow.
Well, you had like Lilith Fair happening, and then you had like pop divas happening.
Yeah.
Right. And then you had Lauryn Hill. Because that was also
that's like so true. God,
that
yeah.
was
true.
Also yeah. it was Lilith Fair. It was you were either a woman, you had a guitar,
yeah.
mm-hmm. or you had a big, big voice where you riffed the house down.
Right.
Right.
Or you were a pop princess.
Yeah.
And then there was like this space. And I think like just even Lauryn Hill like singing and also rapping was like, oh wait, let's pivot and look, let's look at this too. And then like it's true. Like there is this like world of hip hop that I feel was exposed.
Yeah.
Right. God. I mean, speaking of, I mean,
one of the best singers ever too.
Totally. Yeah. Like Lauryn is this other like very mystifying figure where it's like you don't really know what to make of her because there just seem to be all of these prickly things that have happened in
like
her career.
Like she came to Oakland, I remember, didn't perform a concert because there was too many white people.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
I've heard, I don't know, I kind of respect
classically
that.
Always late.
I've heard that she's not the most pleasant person.
Yeah.
But when you have that talent, it's so hard to negotiate.
She did a cover not too long, like a year ago, that was on Facebook.
Oh, uh-huh.
It was like an event.
Yeah, an event where she performed for the first time in a while. And I mean, it's chills. Like, her voice is insane.
You put up with people's bullshit when you know you're going to get a certain desired result.
I agree.
You just do.
Yeah, right. But it's like, there's no, like, mathematical way to, like, figure that
out. It's like Aretha Franklin saying, hi, there can be no air conditioning.
Yeah.
You turn the air conditioning off.
But she's right.
When the queen rolls through.
Yeah, but she's absolutely right.
With Lauryn Hill, though, I used to do this joke when, like, the handful of times I would do stand-up, I do it. But I talk about going to this Beyonce concert with Britney. You remember Britney? Hi, Britney Holloway Brown, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah, I remember when you went to
Beyonce. But I'll be like, yeah, so Britney came with me, and Britney is like the Lauryn Hill of being late to things, and I am the Lauryn Hill of hating white people. I thought that was a fun joke.
That's really funny.
But then it would like get such a mixed reaction.
Really? Oh, I think that's hilarious.
Anyway, but Lauryn is, yeah, so Lauryn, I feel like, what just came out recently? Some producer on Miseducation, or some close collaborator of hers, like, called her out in this essay and was like,
I don't know. She doesn't have good relations with people. I think because she's not, you know, she's a tough person to deal with.
I don't know. I just feel like
a lot of money tied up in that album, too, is the thing.
Totally. And, like, really, I feel like if all is right in the world, like, we get one more, like, piece of great work out of her.
That's I'm hoping.
Not that we're, like, demanding things, but, like, it's just, I would want that.
Yeah, you know? It's in there.
It is crazy because even, it's nuts that really from her, it was, like, her work with the Fugees and then that album, and then there's really hasn't been,
nothing.
It's, like, other people that put out, like, iconic pieces of work, like, they've followed up. Like, you know what I mean? Alanis Morissette, there's Jagged Little Pill.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like you don't even remember anything else, but there are other albums.
Right.
Christmas albums.
Yeah.
Christmas albums. Oh my God. Lauryn Hill should release a Christmas album.
She had an acoustic
album that came out.
Really?
She did an MTV Unplugged acoustic. And it's beautiful. Like, it's just beautiful.
I live for that.
Yeah.
Love that. Fucking
I also live for her performance in fucking Sister Act 2,
yes,
Back in the Habit.
Yes.
And Shirelle Ralph was the mother.
Yes.
I'm so proud of her.
She's just so iconic. And, like, her fashion at the time, she's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Those music videos are, like, timeless.
Yes. Even now, even when she, like, did that little video where she, like, did an acoustic cover of Doo-Wop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just wore this giant brimmed hat and looked incredible.
Incredible. Yeah, I love
it. Like, you have not aged.
I also heard that in concert, she rarely does the same arrangement twice. Like, she's always, like, rearranging things. Like, she's like, it has to be different. It has to be, like, her instincts must be followed at all times. And, like, her band is good enough to, like, change.
Wow.
Like, because she has, of course, the best and the best working for
her. She's a musical genius.
If someone were not perfect, she could just fill them a look and they'd be gone.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, you know what? This is the thing that, like, is solidifying all this for me, is that she is a musical genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't And that is the thing that you weigh against all the other behavioral stuff.
Virtuosique.
Yeah. Virtuosica. Yeah.
And anyway. I think the issue is that like a lot of people will have that behavior, but without the talent.
Sure.
To back
totally.
It
up. Totally.
Oh yeah.
That's
oh yeah.
Like yeah.
Yeah.
And they and people put up with even them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Is it as popular in comedy? Like yes, in the Lady Gaga Netflix thing where she's like getting massaged yes. every other take. Yeah, yeah,
right. Right. Right.
And like weeping with her soul.
Yeah.
And like I'm like, are you in that much pain?
Yeah. That's, yeah.
And honestly, I choose
one of those massages.
I guess I choose to believe that she actually is because like.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
What does that mean?
It was, yeah. yeah, it was a
like,
lot.
She's, what, she's like a ranting, raving, crazy
I
person?
Just, I mean, just to weep all day and just have somebody like, and like just working your, and there's like four, like sometimes I'm sure she has like three masseuses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
she's just like slowly weeping. I mean, that was so
Wait,
iconic
Chloe,
for
that's
me.
That's the take though for
I know.
You, if you were
so
going
like,
to do
I,
one.
I did, and then I feel like the time went too far.
Oh, sure.
Maybe I'll just bring it back. I have like a lot of impressions that are like not relevant. But I kind of want to just right. put those on.
But I think
like
if they're good
moment,
enough, sometimes yeah. it doesn't really matter. Like, I think people
so.
Do like to see like a good impression, even if it comes
That's
out of nowhere.
That's what I
like,
did with the yes, steering yes. wheel Annette thing. I was yes. like, this is a 20-year-old movie, but like.
yeah, I have a Bill Paxton that I love.
Yeah,
but it's
so
not
good.
Relevant. Whoa. But and I've been talked out of putting it in my like submissions and reels and stuff
it's
like
so
that.
Good.
But the thing is, like, I see it fucking these straight guys doing these fucking throwback impressions, and no one cares.
They do it. All of the time.
All the time.
Straight men, where is their brain?
I don't know.
That's all. I see it all. I see it in stand-up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what are your... You're talking about Caddyshack still?
No,
like,
I know.
That's the thing.
It's just, interesting to me because it's like, oh, man. Like, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
The bar is different.
Oh, babe. Like,
it's a different bar.
Do it. Like, yes, I had to fucking pull a Michiko Kakutani impression out of my ass. Who cares what the references are?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, as long as it's good, it's good. That's
yeah,
the thing that really
better,
matters.
Rather than timely. I've done some bad timely stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, when because you feel like you have to.
You have to rather than do something like of the past.
Right. I mean, look, I'm going to whip out all my stalwart. You have no idea. How good this Bill Paxton is. And then he passed good... away, and it was like, oh no.
I know. But it's a very good Bill
Paxton.
It was
based on the Twister attraction at Universal Studios.
Oh my God.
So he's in the Twister attraction pre-show, or Dearly Departed, that ride no longer
I
exists.
Know.
He just is standing there in the craziest stance. Just talking about how a twister is the worst thing you can go through and laugh. It's got the force of a... He's just like truly... God. And the way his body is positioned.
It's the funniest
right?
wooden performance ever of anyone.
I talked about it on Podcast The Ride coming to Forever Dog Network.
Mm.
A new acquisition. It's a really good podcast. I'll give it a plug. It's a really good podcast where every single time they have a different guest on, they talk about a different theme park attraction.
Yeah.
And I'm a theme park bitch.
Oh, yes. You are?
Yes. I am.
Yes.
Do you fuck with Coney Island then?
I fuck deeply with Coney Island. I'm
really?
Jealous of you because you're going there today.
You're going there right after this. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's
I fuck deeply with it. I've done the Cyclone a couple times.
Really? I'm scared. I think I might go tonight.
Do it.
You got to do
just,
it.
Just one ride. Yeah,
just do the Cyclone.
Feel
I'll
your Beyonce XO fantasy and just do all of
that. That's one reason to do
just
it.
Just when they go upside down.
Oh yeah. No, Cyclone doesn't go upside
Cyclone
down.
Cyclone is wooden. It's all
Oh, upright. I like the old like you could die one.
Yeah,
oh.
You might die on it.
You might okay, die.
You might. But the thing is it is
to
fun.
Die in an iconic coaster.
I mean that's so such an iconic yes. coaster.
Be amazing. Yeah. An amazing death.
I hope that one day I'm on it and it just flies off the tracks and I go, "You love me like EXO." And I like deeply
die.
Like, go right into the ocean and I'm like
and
to turn the lights out.
And you die in a ball of fire.
And I die like Beyonce.
Chloe, I'm just... Wait, this sounds so obnoxious.
Okay.
Uh-oh, here we fucking
no,
go.
No, no, no. Yeah. The day that someone does the Chloe Fineman impression, what happens then? That is
That's
like,
a snake eating its own tail.
I in Groundlings, I'd always do these things where they'd like teach characters or impressions and they'd be like, let's do someone in the class. And
they
would always
whatever.
Be like... Drew, like, do Chloe.
Yeah,
and it's always somebody going like this. Or saying something. Yeah.
No.
I don't know what the impression would be.
I think an impression of me would be so insulting.
No.
It'd be
no,
someone
be like,
screaming.
It'd be what you literally just did. Like, na-na-na-na-na.
See what I mean?
Can I do... Can I
Please do an impression.
No.
Do an impression.
I was going to do an impression of you, but can I ask a stupid question?
Always.
Where... Would it make sense if you were to ever do an impression of yourself?
Of
That's
myself?
So stupid.
I don't know. It doesn't work. It doesn't
no,
work that
I mean,
way.
I know that, like, forever, I like, in school, I was they were always like, stop smiling while you talk, Northern California. Like, because we kind of, like, talk like this. And I don't know. I talk out of the side of my mouth a lot. Like, that was just how I grew up talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it would probably be, like, she's being inappropriate and her dad's mad. You know, I don't know.
I don't think I could do an impression of Bowen Yang just because I'm around you too much.
I'm around you too much to ever do one of you.
Really?
It's the closeness. We don't have the critical distance.
I don't have anyone call me out. I would appreciate it.
What do you mean, call you out?
Or like, I always make fun of my friends and do impressions of them.
Oh, got it, got it.
I don't feel like I've ever had.
Well, because Chloe, like you, like I've seen you answer questions, like yes or no questions with like sounds and like physicality. So like you're like, I'm saying like that's not me doing an impression of you, but I'm saying that's you like going to that place defaultly in your mind,
sounding.
Which is like so inspired and like oh, like that's where it all comes from, is like thinking in those terms of like, yeah, it's just very like, it's just like Chloe being like animated. Yeah, it was very
animated. Yeah, because I'd say I'm animated. It was weird too because like Melissa V did a Jenny Slate impression on Instagram yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Jenny didn't like it.
She didn't smash it.
Maybe she will smash a like button, but I was just like, oh, that's so interesting to like do someone like, I don't know, Jenny Slate's like comic. So iconic, but to do another comic is like
is interesting.
I found that interesting.
It's close.
Yeah, Melissa does not Whitney Cummings. She's really good.
She's so good.
And Sarah Silverman. She does comedian impressions.
She does it very, she does Sarah Silverman. Cool.
Those are all really easy. I mean, Sarah Silverman, I feel like that's like, she has a manner of being, which is like, it's like kind of Jim Carrey.
The take is
already
there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, Jim Carrey, it's like, and he does so many like iconic things.
That's why I don't do like, Amy Schumer.
Right.
But also because I saw someone do it online. I think she's friends with you guys. She's in New York. She did an Amy Schumer that was like flawless.
Really?
And when someone does that, I don't touch it. Like Chelsea Davidson's Lena Dunham. I was like, I'm never going to
do Lena
Dunham.
Can do Lena Dunham.
That's,
no.
I mean, that's very cool that like you have such respect for that to like not want to go to go near it.
That's why no one does. That's why no one does a Paxton.
That's why no one does.
I fucking crushed a Paxton. Yeah. It is on my old character reel, which is on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that'll change, but for now, it's definitely like, oh, I can't.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That is like the platonic ideal for the craft of just having that respect for other people.
No. Sacred bitch.
Sacred bitch.
Sacred.
Sacred. I think it's time.
I think it's time.
Okay. For,
I don't think so, honey.
Yes.
Oh,
did
my
you
God.
Not remember?
I
what
did
we
never
do?
put it all together, but now we're here.
Don't worry. Now we're here. We'll go first so that you have some time
good.
To think.
Okay, great.
Or if you cannot think of something, we can draw from the troll bowl
right.
for you.
Okay,
I actually have a good one.
Okay, you do. Yeah. So this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, Starbucks, when you say pumpkin spice is back, have the ingredients ready to make pumpkin spice. Because let me tell you something. When you say pumpkin spice is back, guess who's going to be the first fucking person in line, honey? Me, the bitch. And when I step up and order pumpkin spice and invent a frappuccino form,
ooh,
and then I have to wait 20 minutes for it, honey.
Oh.
I'm not a happy customer. And I don't think so, honey, when I have a fucking full conversation with the employee and we both say how excited we are about pumpkin spice and how, you know, we're not basic, we're
seconds.
Just living our life because it's good. And then this same young woman is having a hard time finding the ingredients.
Oh.
It's like, honey, you posted it up on the chalkboard, you posted it up on the commercials, let's get ready with the pumpkin spice.
Oh my God.
You had the audacity to advertise everywhere pumpkin spice and back. I'm gonna come. I'm here. So give me pumpkin spice. I'm waiting, hon. And you know that I'm busy, honey. It's New York. I need my pumpkin spice right now, honey.
And that's 1 minute. Gorgeous.
I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna get me all up in a tiz about pumpkin, do you like pumpkin spice?
I don't.
You know what? I'm back on the cycle of liking it again.
But I think I think I should, and I'd be a more whimsical person.
No. Don't worry.
I don't think I should have gotten a venti.
Yeah.
But I
that's
do
a
love
lot. Yeah, that's
it's
like a
so
lot.
Much. You
I
know
like
what?
I
it was
liked
so much.
It and then you overdo it because it becomes like an everything.
Totally.
I wanted to make myself feel better after a stressful situation.
Mm.
And so then I went and got my pumpkin spice and I was like, oh, yes. And honestly, here's the thing. It's actually a rule of culture. You never actually want a large. Say it with me.
You never actually want a large.
You always want a medium, bitch.
Yeah.
Or a grande, if you will. You just, you
Goldilocks
never,
principle.
You never need that much volume or something.
Yeah.
I swear to God, we were in Penn Station the other day, me and...
I swear to God you were.
Yeah. was I with you?
No.
Oh, I think I was with my sister.
Okay, what'd you do?
I was with my sister and I went to go get a smoothie and I was like, I'll have a large without looking at the sizes. And they were like, are you sure you want a large? And then I looked over and I swear to God, the large was this big.
They downsold.
It was crazy. I was like, oh my God, no, I want a small, which is like a fucking bucket.
They downsold it. That's crazy.
Because
they never do that.
Because even they were human beings and could tell that I wasn't going to finish this. But you guys, you never want a large.
You never want a large.
Even if they tell you it's 50 cents more. Well.
And then they get you in the movie theaters, too.
They do.
Do you want to make that a large for a dollar more? And you always go, I mean, yeah. No, it's a waste.
I always say no.
Are you a popcorn kind of individual?
Yeah, when I'm not, like, dieting.
There you go.
We always say, actually, the rule of culture, popcorn doesn't count. Popcorn is
air.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. He thinks he has one.
I think so.
And his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Anyone who has not seen the Teddy Perkins episode of Atlanta, I just saw it last night. And I am 4.5 months late. It is one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen in my life. It is so bizarre. It is so viscerally upsetting and funny and tragic. And I don't know. This is not the most interesting I Don't Think So, Honey. But I'm saying everyone has to watch this now. Even if you are not familiar with the show, although context does help. Lakeith Stanfield turns out an amazing performance. What a beautiful actor, beautiful person. Hunky, hunka, hunka.
I love Lakeith Stanfield.
Love Lakeith. But he is...
30 seconds.
He's like the kooky crazy guy in the whole show. But like to see him play straight man against Donald Glover in whiteface is truly stunning.
Wow.
I will never forget this episode of television. I have to go back and watch it. There's a scene with an ostrich egg.
15 seconds.
I won't spoil it, but it is the most viscerally upsetting thing I've ever seen in my life, and I wanted to throw up. Alex, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this? You have to watch it. It's so good. Everyone,
5 seconds.
Get thee to a funnery and watch the Teddy Perkins episode of
Atlanta.
And that's
1 minute. Less than I Don't Think So, Honey, and more just a statement of appreciating a television
And that's
show.
Okay.
And that's okay. Yeah. And you know what? And that's okay.
And that's okay.
It's whatever you want to make it. I haven't seen that episode, so that was an I Don't Think So, Honey on me.
Oh, have you watched any of Atlanta?
It's on my list. Yeah,
you would fucking stand for Zazie Beetz.
I'm sure I would.
Oh, she's fabulous. Mm.
Do you watch Atlanta?
I have a crush on Donald Glover.
Yeah, you should watch it. He's so good.
Run to watch it.
He is in whiteface. He plays this eccentric billionaire.
Oh my type god. Of person. Oh my god.
He's incredible.
Wow. Oof.
It's truly insane, this episode. Anyway.
So now we have someone to do an I Don't Think So, Honey that has previously subverted the form by doing her I Don't Think So, Honey on Greta Gerwig and as Greta Gerwig.
I know.
As the
I
same
could do it as another wonderful. Person. I could do, but I maybe I won't.
But listen, we're going to find out right now.
Mm.
And this is Chloe Fineman's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
Okay. I Don't Think So, Honey. White man who says he cannot get through Nanette. Four guys be like, I tried to watch it, but like, I don't know. I only lasted 30 minutes. The whole point of Nanette is the 30 minutes that come after your fragile male ego that cannot stand her.
Wow.
First of all, the first half is hilarious.
Yeah,
there's teacups and saucers and all sorts of jokes. And the fact that you like can't even get past that because everything has to be catered to you and your dick humor. Go fuck yourself.
30 seconds.
The fact that you don't get it or you find her boring or it's like not... Get out of your fucking comfort zone. You're never going to learn.
Yes.
Open your eyes and your ears.
Yes,
I cannot stand. I cannot stand. Because you don't find her attractive or something.
That is why.
It's really why. You don't like gay jokes. You're never gonna expand. You're never going to be woke. And you can't mansplain Nanette to me, which is ultimately what you probably want to be able to do.
It's funny because... 5 seconds.
It's funny because... that's funny. I just thought it boring. Like, I don't know. I didn't really get it.
And
that's
know what? 100%. We've actually talked about this a bunch. But the thing is, like, you guys, it's just not... It is for you, and it's just not for you to explain.
It's not for you to explain. Three guys since being in New York were like, I tried to watch it.
God, and like, why bring that in? Can you just compliment your fucking impression and leave it there?
And also, like, it really gets good if you keep watching.
Yeah, sure, I mean, but
she's really a fine wine.
Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned something that I think is very astute, which is the fact that you know because they can't and don't fuck her or they have no desire to do that because she's not for them or like she's not presenting herself sexually for them, like there is a block there.
Yeah, it's such a thing.
And the thing about, and there's even some backlash I think from even like weird places, like I think like I've heard queer people be like, I don't know, or just people be like, well, is it comedy though? It's like wait, like You're not gonna be the one to like define the parameters of what this is.
I know.
And if this is hurting the form. Are you kidding me?
You can't.
You're gonna be the person who died and made you king. Like, I don't understand the backlash behind, like, the sex aside.
Yeah.
I don't understand the backlash behind people saying, well, it's not comedy.
But it absolutely, the first 30 minutes, which I kept rewatching for the stupid impression, right, is hilarious.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Joke after joke after joke.
But then she, like, brings it all back together towards the end where it's like a masterfully done piece.
But even if it weren't funny in the way that, like, people need it to be, you cannot be the gatekeeper of someone going on a stage and performing art. Like, that's what this is, you guys. Yeah. You know, that's what we all do. You go up there, you get a reaction the way that you can.
Yes. Right.
And if you don't understand that reaction or aren't giving that reaction the way other people are or couldn't get that reaction in that same way, that doesn't mean it's bad or doesn't deserve a place. Right. It just means it's different and there should be more different kinds of art. I think that's what's killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that they don't see it in that narrow way that they've had to come up or they were told is the way you succeed. So it's like, how could this person be succeeding?
I also am, like, really inspired by her thing to not have to self-deprecate. All
absolutely.
The time.
Yes. I never even thought about that.
I never thought about it until she, like, true. It's so true.
It's true. Did you run into her a million times at JFL?
I saw her order something and I was scared.
I was genuinely, like, starstruck. I was like,
we were in an elevator with her and we didn't even.
I would have lost my shit.
I was like, I can't believe how I am not, like, leaping
so
out of my
cool
skin.
That's what's so cool about JFL.
Yeah.
Tiffany Haddish came out of an elevator in a ball gown.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, fainted. Jesus, I would have
sparkly red
freaked.
Ball gown.
It was crazy to all it's be crazy. Sharing the same space with people like that. It was
so crazy. Yeah.
But just the fact that she was, like, treated poorly there, I just
she
really
was?
Obsessed.
Oh,
well,
incessantly.
Oh, I did not hear.
Yeah. Like,
really?
Like stand-ups out. Like, she got heckled.
What?
At this show that Lisa Traeger
her
hosted.
Own gala.
Her own gala. She got heckled.
She was heckled at her gala?
And then she did
by who?
Some random
whom?
Fucking what's that?
Whom?
By whomst?
And a fucking Lisa Traeger hosted this other show that she was on, and then the comic who went up afterward was like, "Yeah, Hannah Gatsby hasn't said a fucking funny thing in her life." Like,
ew,
I can't. Like, and you're, and he's proving her whole fucking
heckle
point.
Heckle culture needs to end. I've been at 3 stand-up shows this week here, and everyone is heckling.
Ew,
really?
Yeah.
I never see it.
And I think it's because I'm not in the bubble that I feel safe in. But these, like, straighty shows, heckle city.
Yeah,
they were heckling. Do you know Yodoya?
Yeah, Yodoya.
I love him. He was hosting.
Oh, Yodoya. Yeah.
They were heckling him.
Oh my god.
And then this guy would heckle, and then this girl would turn around and high five him.
Ew. Oh well, have fun going back to whatever. The
I know,
fuck
and I really
Morris
was like so tempted to just be like,
why don't you get on stage?
Yeah, sure.
Yodoya
Travis, like, truly the most unimpeachable comedian out there. Like, so likable.
So great. Let's say it. Hot.
Very hot. Very hot.
He knows I think he's hot because
he's posted thirst traps where he's shirtless.
Oh, yeah.
One time I went up after him at a set and my whole first minute of my set was how hot Yodoya was.
He's so hot.
So hot. And
he's
just
so
the
hot.
Nicest person.
Yeah. I lingered after the show and was like, hey, yeah.
How are you? I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
That was good. I'm just here for a little while.
It was so obvious. Like,
I'm actually just here for a couple of days.
Yeah. How's New York? Cool.
Where do you live?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He also has a tattoo that I shouldn't. Well, whatever. Yeah. He has a tattoo that he said was a wolf but looks like a Shiba Inu. Oh.
That's a great conversation starter.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know what? Talk about it at the wedding. Bring it up at the wedding.
Yeah. Bring it up at the wedding.
Yeah, wow. What a fun episode.
We love.
This was great.
So, is there anything coming up for you? People can see you. You have, like, any shows coming up in the Lala?
No.
Follow where Chloe is crazy.
It's all on the net.
Or you're crazy for not.
You're crazy for not following Chloe is crazy. Truly.
How about that, bitch?
Someone, we love you so much.
I love you guys. I really
coming
do.
Coming out. Listen, this is a love fest.
This is
a love
fest.
And that's what
we love.
That's what we love.
That's what
and
we
actually
love.
Leads into the song that is going to sing. We're going to sing and we're going to, you know,
and
end on a song.
When you love, you love Chloe.
And that's,
I think, okay, we need to start singing. We can't do the Garth and Kat thing. I think we need to do...
Can I tell you what I've been listening to a lot because our last episode was exclusively about her?
What?
Avril Lavigne.
Avril, okay.
Oh, really?
So.
Wait, and I really don't like Avril Lavigne, but I'm going to have to sing this song.
Here we go.
Did you think that I was going to give it up to you? Miss Diane. Did you think that I was something I was going to do?
and cry. Don't try to tell me what to do. Don't try to tell me what to say. You're better off that way. This guilt trip that you put me on won't mess me up. I've done no wrong. I don't know the rest. I don't know the rest.
And then it goes, yeah. And then the chorus again.
We love Avril. Well, that's the song we're closing out on this episode. We love you. We love Chloe. Like, subscribe, listen, review,
and leave comments.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter.